Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
This morning with David Slack. Morena, David, how are you?
Morena, Rachel. I'm good. I'm doing okay with this lockdown thing.
I know.
Been a roller coaster for a month, but I'm feeling all right.
Yes, it is. It is a long time. It is a long time, but we now know that we've got this sort of extra weekend, and then we'll be moving into level three, which of course we're going to talk about this morning. Also want to talk a little bit about Simon Bridges and some of his comments in the last couple of days, and also maybe looking forward to the election, which is, of course is a very long way away in many respects, but I'm kind of curious to see what you think COVID's going to do in terms of affecting that. So we'll talk about that. But let's start with Simon Bridges this morning. Of course, he took to Facebook the other day to criticise the government for keeping us in lockdown for a few more days. And he was quite roundly criticised by this. What are your thoughts on this one, David?
I don't think that he's kind of agile about this, to use a management buzzword. That is to say, he doesn't seem to be able to adapt very readily. And I think this speaks to the way he has sat in the role from the outset. You know, he was very good, as many lawyers can be, at the work he did, or so we're told, and I have no reason to doubt it. But he doesn't seem to be able to expand to other spheres very well, and he doesn't seem to be able to do anything that isn't quite mechanical. And so the mechanical response, if you're a leader of the opposition, is to find fault in wide-ranging and deepened and damning terms, no matter what you do. And it is rightly called the worst job in politics, being the leader of the opposition, because it makes you seem negative all the time. And so there's a kind of skill you have to bring to that.
Mm-hmm.
It means that you have to, at the same time, be creating a sense of alternative possibility, better, greater possibility. And in that respect, I'm old enough to remember when Rob Muldoon was the leader of the opposition campaigning to come into Parliament. Come into office.
Mm-hmm.
And man, he was good at it, because he could make it appear that the government was ineffectual and out of its depth, and he could make it appear that he had a better proposition. None of that is being done by Simon Bridges, and in this particular instance, at a time when leadership is giving us a reason to believe in the response to COVID, and there's a kind of sense of unity
mm-hmm.
that people really can respond to, he finds fault with that, and that's a dope thing to do, because everybody wants to be united and come through this thing, and that was what was being conveyed very forcefully and effectively by Jacinda Ardern in announcing the move to level three. And he then proceeded to show a tin ear to the whole thing, and he got what you would expect for doing that. Absolutely
so,
dumped on.
Some people, I guess, are saying as well, though, he has got some valid points, or the National Party, rather, has some valid points in that they'd like to see some more support for smaller businesses be outlined by the government quite quickly. Do you think that's a fair comment?
Well, on the face of it, perhaps, but, you know, this response is being tuned every day by the government, and I think the initial approach was correct in the sense of helping with the wage cash flow. There will be other larger cash flow issues to be considered, and if you think that they're not going to do anything about it, then he would have a point. But they're not demonstrating that at all. To the contrary, it really feels as though they are working on this pretty effectively. It doesn't mean that everything happens exactly when you would want it to happen. But if anybody imagines that they are not front and centre contemplating what it means to be running a shop with five people, a small business
mm-hmm.
with three or four staff, to be the person who actually pays the wages and lives on what's left, and who has rent to pay and ACC to pay and tax to pay, if people think that they're not fully conscious of that, they're dreaming. You know, and it's absolutely right to be advocating for those interests, but it's mistaken to suggest that they're being ignored.
Well, we will be seeing a lot of smaller businesses and medium and larger businesses opening in the next week when we do move down to level three. Of course, people have been quite quick, the government especially has been quite quick to remind everybody that we are still in a very sort of strict period. It's kind of like lockdown light or something. You know, we can get takeaways and people can go back to work if they haven't got the ability to work at home. Do you think that New Zealanders are still in the mindset for being able to kind of achieve this so that we can still, I guess, stomp out this virus in this next kind of 2-week period beyond lockdown?
You do get a sense of a bit of fraying at the edges. You know how it is when just before the starter gun goes, people come sprinting out of the blocks because they don't want to wait any longer. I'm anecdotally hearing about people who are figuring, well, it's almost over, so I'm going to just slip out now. That would be a terrible shame if people did too much of it. I hope that there's going to be enough of that spirit that we've seen through the lockdown to call people out if you see wrong behaviour. And when you are out and about, you do get the sense still that people are keeping distance and doing all of that. So I wonder if this is just a phenomenon of people really, really wanting to see other particular people. And it doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't still a lot of respect and willingness to keep the distance as much as possible. Get the howls of derision if you were very visibly breaking the rules, I suspect. But that's the sense I get. It's quite interesting, actually, when initially Jacinda Ardern was calling it a waiting room phase in level three, and I was wondering if that exactly catches it. I suspect what she was getting at was it's waiting room where you're sitting there after you've had your flu shot. You can't leave for 20 minutes just in case something goes wrong.
In case you faint or something. It's not a good idea.
Yeah. And that's kind of what's happening here, where we're moving tentatively out, and actually what we're mostly doing, and this, again, addresses the question you were raising about small business. We vitally need to get the wheels of the economy moving as much as possible, as soon as possible, and that's what this has in mind.
Well, speaking speaking of big wheels, building is one of those big things, and we've seen a few things indicated by the Auckland Council, for example, that they're going to be prioritising the city rail link and other big infrastructure. Shovel-ready is the buzzword, shovel-ready projects as well. Are you happy to see that some of those are going to be kind of prioritised as kickstarters, David?
I don't think you can make a bad move for the most part, unless, of course, to go back to our many earlier conversations about the environment and the climate crisis. Don't, for God's sake, build more roads. And that's not really what's being proposed here. It does more largely contemplate things like greater space for cycleway and walking, because there's a real opportunity to capitalise on what people have experienced in the last 4 weeks, that a quieter, cleaner, unmolested experience of getting on your bike is a beautiful thing.
It is a lovely thing. It's nice to have room on the roads as well, definitely.
Gotcha. You know, I'm acutely conscious of not getting anywhere near anybody, and no matter what you might read on Twitter about runners being assholes, that ain't me. I'm always going onto the road to make sure I'm nowhere near anybody, and it's an easy thing to do against the oncoming traffic.
Absolutely,
and, boy, don't want to see that go anytime soon.
Well, just very briefly before we let you go, David, I am curious to see if you think we put this to Nicola Willis when we spoke to her yesterday. The election is going ahead at this stage in September, but of course, COVID does put a bit of a question mark over things. Do you think the country's going to be ready for an election come September time?
Yeah, I think it is. That's a long time, actually. I mean, our experience of the last 4 weeks has been really instructive in just how much can happen in a day and how long time can appear to stretch out, I think. And there's so much, you know, and the difficulty in many elections is getting people sufficiently engaged with the issues. Well, Jesus, people are front and centre with the issues right now and will remain that way because, you know, there's a clear and present existential threat to all of this and large questions to be explored. So there's never been a huger appetite for consuming all of this. That's beautiful for an election.
Mm.
I think I might have mentioned to you at the start of this year, I sort of felt weary when they announced it because, oh, God, another one because I'm that old, Rachel. but now I really like the idea. And also, you know, from the point of view of physical safety, I think, you know, we're clearly moving out of level 4 and into level 3 and towards level 2. And, you know, we now know how to safely queue for things. We can certainly queue for voting at a polling booth, or indeed the online, which has, you know, now become quite well established for the 2 weeks prior. So get into it.
Yeah.
Ready up.
Yep. Get democratic. Hey, thank you so much, yeah. David. We really appreciate chatting to you this morning, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks' time.
Will do. Cheers, Rachel.
Take care. See ya.
Hey.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
this morning.